Morning. Matt said he lost, what, £25 working at Home Depot? I'm throwing an application into B&Q. see if we can shed a few pounds. Good morning. I hope you all had a great week. If you're visiting, you're very, very welcome with us. You picked a great week to be here. We're starting a new series, as Matt said, and we're going to be looking at the question of why God. I don't think there's a person here who hasn't uttered those words. Why? You know, why would God allow so much suffering, or why does God allow certain things to happen and not step in and, you know, stop them? Or, you know, all you have to do is kind of watch the news anywhere, even in your own life in Limerick, or, you know, situations in your personal life, and you wonder, why does God allow these things to happen? Now, let me let you in a little secret in case you're new to church or you're trying to figure it out. Sometimes I think the church can give you the impression, you know, we have all the answers. We don't. Being a follower of Christ doesn't give you all the answers at all, but it does put you in relationship with the person who does have all the answers. And oftentimes, you know, we look for the answer we want rather than the answer that's actually true to kind of appease us. But I think coming to Scripture and the Bible, it does make sense of certain things. Now, let me tell you that oftentimes when we bring these why questions to God or to the church or things, we're not exactly asking the right question. We ask why God, but what we're really trying to do is make sense of what happened. So for example, if somebody goes in recently in Florida, goes in and shoots people, you know, why would he do that? Well, the answer is he was mentally unstable. Does that bring you any comfort? We're not looking for why he did it. We're trying to make sense of why he did it. What would drive somebody to do that? Or remember, was it 10 years ago or so that tsunami hit and wiped out thousands of people? You know, why did that happen? Well, the answer is easy. It's a displacement of a large volume of water caused by an earthquake or volcanic eruptions. But that doesn't bring any comfort, does it? Why would God allow it? Why would God, you know, put people there and have them wiped out? If he had any power or any ability, why wouldn't he stop something like that? See, so often we want the answer that will bring us comfort, which is nothing wrong with that. But sometimes that isn't the right answer. And I think if we're honest with ourselves and we're looking for truth, we have to be open to the truth, even if we don't like it. And that's tough. It's a tough thing to do. See, too often we want the answer we're looking for rather than the answer that's actually the right one. So today we're going to be covering a question that we've asked for thousands of years. So many people have asked it. Even when I finish this message, I think it's going to make you either lean into the answer or it's going to make you resist it and push back. But either way, I hope you won't be leaving the way you came in. Either way, I hope it'll either make you lean into it and at least resist it, because so often I kind of learned that when you're frustrated with an answer, it'll make you look into it yourself. So I hope you all leave just a little frustrated. So some of you know, currently I'm back studying, and one of the reasons a lot of people go to counseling or psychotherapy is there's a lack of meaning in their life or a lack of purpose. And I think it's true for everybody. There's a stage in all our lives we kind of feel like that. But when there's lack of meaning or lack of purpose, what people go to counseling for is looking for that purpose or that inner peace. And God's timing is always perfect. One of the things we discussed this week, which is the question that we're going to look at today, is what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of life? If you were asked that question, what would you say? You know, in your minds, what answer would you give is the meaning of life? In both senses, for you and in general, but what would you say the meaning of life is? Why are we here? See, so many people, I know myself and maybe for you too, I've had a point in my life where you just stop and you have to ask the question, what the heck am I doing? Have you ever asked yourself that? What am I doing with my life? Am I where I want to be? See, everybody is somewhere in life. The question is, are you there on purpose? Everyone is somewhere. But have you just drifted along there, or are you there on purpose? And so many people just get fed up with life, and we run around and look for happiness or meaning, and we end up getting tired and worn out, and we just ask the question, is there any point? Is there any point to life? You know, will anything actually fulfill me? Will anything actually fill that void I have? You see, when we're living at home, we think, oh, when I move out, I'll be fulfilled. Or if we don't have a car, we think, oh, when I get a car, I'll be fulfilled. Or if you're single, you think, oh, when I'm married, I'll be fulfilled. And when you're married, you think, when I have kids, I'll be fulfilled. And when you have kids, you think, when I get rid of my kids, I'll be fulfilled. And it's, you know, we always look for the next thing. We always look for something more. Because think about it. Think of a situation. We all have these. Most of us have multiple ones. Where you had a situation in your life and you thought, when I get this, I'm going to be happy. And then you got it. Are you still happy? Tough, right? I know for me, every time my new iPhone comes out, I feel like I'd be happy if I get it. You know, but we all have these instincts that we strive for. If I get this, it will fulfill me. It'll make me happy. And that's the beauty of marketing. Anybody here who studies marketing knows it's one big lie. How do I trick these people into thinking this will fulfill me? That's basically what marketing is. How do I convince these people they need something they don't need? How do I trick people into thinking, hey, if I get the newest car, if I get the newest iPhone, if I have a certain job, if only my internet speed was faster, I'd be happy. Jim Carrey said something recently which I thought was just beautiful. He turned around and he says, I wish everybody could be rich and famous so they'd know it didn't bring fulfillment. Doesn't bring fulfillment. Or Bono, my man Bono, he says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Or if you're really old, Mick Jagger, I can't get no satisfaction. See, these people, they've all looked for it. A simple Google search and bring up so many things on fulfillment and happiness and how do you get it. And there's not one of them have found it. That's why so many people who either win the lotto, they're broke very recently, you know, they're probably broke a couple of years afterwards, or if they're rich and famous, they turn to drugs and alcohol and this stuff because they just can't seem to find and grasp what's going to bring them happiness. There's this fake fulfillment, but there's a massive lack of purpose. Now, depending on where you are this morning and your kind of spiritual journey or where you're at with that, you know, if you're somebody this morning who'd say, you know, there isn't really a God or there, you know, there's no creator, it's kind of hard to find purpose or meaning in life. Doesn't mean you can't, but it's harder to find it. There's a German philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, some of you might have heard of him. He was what they called the nihilist. And it's very interesting, write it down because Google it yourselves. But a nihilist is somebody who believes that there isn't a God. But beyond that, they go beyond that and said, not only isn't there a God, there's actually no purpose or meaning to life. None whatsoever. So not just there's no God, there's no meaning or purpose. They believe we live, we die, and that's it. Suck it up. Deal with it. We live, we die, that's it. Now the difference between an atheist and a nihilist is why an atheist doesn't believe in God either. An atheist does believe you can have purpose and you can have meaning in life, even though there isn't a God. So if you're an atheist or a nihilist here this morning, I'm not saying you can't be happy. Absolutely, you can be happy. And I'm definitely not saying you can't live a good life. Of course you can live a good life. Christianity doesn't corner the market on being good whatsoever. Everybody can be good and have a good life. But what I can't do is find your true purpose. That's what I can't do. So you can use a hammer to paint a wall, but it's not what the hammer was meant for. It's not what the hammer was meant for. There he is, up for an altar call again. But you just can't do it. You see, you can try and get a computer to tell you what its purpose is, but a computer doesn't know what its purpose is. It didn't build it. No more than, you know, you can use a cup. Can't tell you what this purpose is, but while you can use a cup as a perfectly good vase, it's not what it was designed for. It's not what it does. It do the job? Absolutely, it does. But it's not what it was designed for. And while you can live a happy life, you mightn't be living your purpose, even though you're living a happy life. And some might say, "Well, isn't the point of life to be happy?" It might be, but it doesn't fulfill you because you'll keep moving on to the next thing and the next thing after that. See, the only way for us to know our purpose is to look for the one who created us. And look to the person who created us and to see God. And of course you'd say, you know, well, Dermot, you have to say that we're in church. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. Now, as I said, if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, or if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Christ, but whatever situation you're in, for the next 10 or 15 minutes, will you put down your shields and be open to what I'm gonna say for the next 15 minutes? Not you don't have to believe it, but I'll just ask that you listen to it. I want to give you all a little homework. This is actually the application as well as part of the message. Here's a book in the Old Testament called Ecclesiastes. I want you to read chapters 1 to 5. That's what I want you to do. Just read chapters 1 to 5. in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I'll tell you where it is in just a minute. Solomon, he was the wisest, richest person who ever lived. And he set his goal in life to find the purpose in life. He owned more gold, more cattle, more anything than anybody who ever lived. He had the time, the money, and the resources to try and find purpose in life. And he actually made it his goal. So if you could imagine modern day, you just won the Euro Millions, 175 million, whatever it was. And you set your goal in life to be happy. That's what Solomon did. He put the time and money aside to say, right, I'm going to find fulfillment in life. And that's what he tried to do. But like you and I, he tried to find it in all the wrong places. The difference between you and Solomon and me and Solomon is Solomon was honest enough to write down where he tried to find it and tried to seek it. So if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn to the book of Proverbs? I beg your pardon, Ecclesiastes. It's between Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon's. So this is your homework as well. So if you don't own a Bible, there's plenty down the back that you can take. So we're going to look at what Solomon tried to do to find fulfillment and to try and find meaning in life and see where he came out. And then we'll wrap it up in a few minutes. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. This is where Solomon looked first to find fulfillment and meaning in life. He says this. What's the show for a lifetime of work? A lifetime of working your fingers to the bone. One generation, it goes. The next generation arrives. But nothing changes. It's business as usual for old planet Earth. Now, Solomon, from the look of it, when you start reading Ecclesiastes, you'll think Solomon's depressed off his head, right? And he might have been writing it, but he's trying to find purpose. See, Solomon figured out life can seem useless unless if you don't have a purpose, when you don't have a purpose. Solomon said, no matter how hard you work, what's the point? Have any of you felt like that? You work, but you can never just get ahead. You just can't get over that hill. That you're working your fingers to the bone, but nothing changes. Life is short, and you're working, then you croak it, and your kids sell everything. And there's really no difference. And that's what Solomon said. I'm working my fingers to the bone to try and find it, and there's just no fulfillment. Look at verse 8, chapter 1. There's nothing new on this earth. Year after year, it's the same old thing. Life gets boring when you don't have a purpose. It gets boring. Have you ever sat at home and you have some money, it doesn't have to be a lot, but you know, you have 20 quid or something, and you're bored. And you actually sit there thinking, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to do. You're bored. So you turn on Home and Away or something. But you're bored. See, that's why we're so stressed out. As I said, marketing tells us, if you buy this, you'll be fulfilled. If you wear this makeup, like everything now is sexualized, even buying a can of Coke. If you buy a can of Coke, you look like this girl or guy on the beach. And we go out and buy it. You see, we go out and do these things because it's full of empty promises, but we don't realize it. It's like eating food with no nutrition. We're eating, but we're just not getting satisfied. You see, we go out and we keep buying things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. And that's what we do over and over again. And the reason we do it over and over again is because God didn't create us to find fulfillment in things. He created us to find fulfillment in Him. That's what He did. But we keep falling for the marketing. We keep falling to say, no, that's not true. If I have the new Audi A6 or Q7, even better. If I have the new Audi, if I have the bigger house, if I get a spouse, if I don't get a spouse, if I have kids, if I don't have kids, that'll make my life happy. But yet it doesn't. Look at verse 11, he says this. Nobody remembers what happened yesterday and the things that'll happen tomorrow. Nobody will remember them either. Don't count them being remembered. See, glory is pointless. No one will remember you when you die. It's the truth. Let me ask you, what was the first song we sang today? Anyone remember? Oh, see? See, we don't remember these things. We don't remember them. For the most part, think about it, no matter how rich or famous you are, for the most part, you'll be forgotten. Unless you have an eternal impact. Do you honestly think in 20 years anybody will give a hoot who Steve Jobs was? Does anybody give a hoot who he is now? Does anybody care who Bill Gates will be in 20 years? Again, does anybody care who he is now? See, the richest, most powerful people in the world, they'll be forgotten. Nobody will remember them. The only people who will be remembered from a biblical perspective, is those who have an eternal impact spiritually. Are those people you influence for Christ because they'll spend eternity with you in heaven? I was trying to think this week as I was writing this that I honestly, only one grandparent of mine was alive that I can, when I was born. I think all three were dead before I was born, but one was alive. And I didn't want to ask anybody this because I wanted to see if I could come up with it. I honestly couldn't remember the name of two of my grandparents. And I don't think I've ever heard the names of my great-grandparents. And that's just one generation. We're not going to be remembered. With all this stuff we have and do, you see, are we impacting people or are we trying to impact stuff? And I think our goal as a believer in Christ, we need to impact people for Christ. If you look down to verse 15, this is one of my favorite ones. Verse 15, it says this, life's a corkscrew that can't be straightened, a minus that just won't add up. See, life can seem out of control without a purpose. It just spins around and around. You see, your marriage or your relationship or your job, your finances, your social life can spin out of control when you don't have purpose. You just can't seem to find a reason why you're doing it all. You're trying to just constantly play catch up. So you can feel betrayed when marketing tells you this will make you happy, but then it doesn't fulfill you because they upgrade it to the next thing. I should have been happy when I have whatever, but you're not. I know I get caught, as I said a moment ago, iPhones. I get caught all the time with iPhones. We upgraded the processor. This will make you happy. It doesn't, but I keep falling for it. Look at verse 16, 17. I know more and I'm wiser than anyone before me in Jerusalem. I've stockpiled wisdom and knowledge. What I finally concluded is that so-called wisdom and knowledge are mindless and witless. Nothing but spitting into the wind. Have you ever spit in the wind? Going across instead of sea link over to the UK. Stand at the front of the ship, you get a lugger right in the face. Like it's like spitting into the wind. You see, what people think is if I know more, if I do more, if I have more. See, life is confusing without purpose. We're just chasing anything. You remember Hammy out of Over the Head, Squirrel? Yeah, you're just constantly going after the next thing. See, King Solomon was so wise and so rich, he came to the conclusion, if you're looking for purpose, we need to trust him on this. If you're looking for purpose under the sun, you won't find it. But if you're looking for purpose under the sun, you'll find it. Let me rephrase it. There's no purpose under the sun, but there is purpose under the sun. See what I did there? Lisa, says so good. There is no purpose on earth among material things. There's none. It's chasing after the wind. But we do find purpose in Christ. See, one of the reasons Solomon found it so hard, if you were here last week, I didn't do three chairs. You can go online and listen to it. Solomon lived in the second chair. He had that attitude. I love God. He truly loved God, but he lived for himself. I love God, but I want to do what I want to do. Now, Solomon's dad, King David, he was a first chair person. He'd sinned. He definitely sinned. But he was a man after God's own heart. David tried to put God first in absolutely everything he did. But Solomon loved God, but he lived for himself. And, you know, as we said last week, that those first-tier people find it much easier to live in the world because they're not distracted by the stuff. They're not distracted by what they want. What they want doesn't override what God wants. You see, there's two types of purposes. So we're going to wrap it up. There's two types of purposes. There's God's general purpose. And there's a specific purpose, an individual specific purpose. There's a general and a specific. And you can't know God's, write this down, you can't know God's specific purpose for your life until you follow God's general purpose for your life. Don't miss this, right? Don't miss this. If you miss it, you're going to have to go back and listen to it. You don't want to do that, right? Here's how Solomon finished up the book of Ecclesiastes. Why is this book in Scripture, right? Here's how he finished it up. Chapter 12, verse 13. It's going to be on the screen. Chapter 12, verse 13. This is the whole story. This is him wrapping it up. This is the whole story. Here's my final conclusion, Solomon's meaning to life. Fear God and obey his commands. This is everybody's duty. God will judge us for what we do, including the secret things. Now, those things that no one saw, he saw them. Whether good or bad. See, our general purpose in life as God originally created us, our general purpose in life is to glorify God and have fellowship with him. That's it. See, when you do that, when you follow God, no matter how much the world doesn't make sense, no matter how much it doesn't make sense, we can have that peace and understanding that people don't get, that the general people don't get. In Philippians 4:7, it says, a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Even though we don't understand it, why God? We don't get it when we ask those questions, but we have so much faith and trust in the one who does get it, we can trust them. We can trust them. See, the purpose of life is so simple. It's so simple, but yet we overcomplicate it so much. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, it is confusing. But even if you are a follower of Christ, it's still confusing and it's still hard to wrap our minds around this. Now, some of you, because I know I would be, some of you are shrugging it off. You're saying, the life is to follow God. Of course, it's a church, you have to say that. You know, and some of you are shrugging it off. But it being simple doesn't mean it's not true. See, life, especially scripture and how God deals with us, it's not a Rubik's Cube. It's not something we have to figure out. God has made it as simple as possible for us to figure out. And he says the purpose, the general purpose of every person, we all have this purpose, the general purpose of life is to follow God, to glorify God and have fellowship. That's it. But most of us only do half of it. Most of us will follow God, but what we don't do is have fellowship. We disconnect. We show up to church and we leave. We don't have fellowship. So we're only doing half of our purpose, which is tough, which is really tough. See, we've never lived in an age ever where we've had more information. I mean, Google and Yahoo and all these things. We've never lived in an age where we've had more access to information in our lives. We've never lived in an age with such an educated population. It's monumental in the history of mankind. But yet, we've also never lived in an age where people don't search for the truth. If a guy says it online or a guy says it in a white coat, that's gospel. We get answers. We don't look. We don't seek to learn. We look at everything else and say, oh, well, I don't believe in God because, you know, a tsunami hit. Well, you can't use that logic. We don't seek the answers ourselves. See, lack of knowledge or direction doesn't stop us from following Christ. Lack of heart and lack of passion does. That's what stops us. See, you won't know your purpose for life until you look to the one who first created us and gave us life. You won't. That's the general purpose, is to follow God. That's our general purpose. Our specific purpose is what God created you and I for, each individual. So do you know what your purpose is in life? Ask yourself that question. What's my purpose in life? Because we all have one. Now, it's okay if you don't know what it is. It's fine. But it's not okay to be okay with not knowing it. You got to look for it. You got to find what it is. See, God has a purpose and plan for every person. And when you find it, when you live it, the world can be falling apart around you. But yet you're so focused on what your purpose is, you find that fulfillment. And I think this week, there was no greater example of a person who had and found their purpose than Billy Graham. Most of you heard this week, Billy Graham died. And it was kind of funny when I heard he died. In case you don't know who he is, he was an evangelist who lived in the States, who massive in the 50s, 60s, just these massive crusades. And I think they said hundreds of millions heard him speak. I think it was hundreds of millions. But there was, without doubt, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, gave their lives to Christ because of the crusades he did. He was almost 100 years old, and he came to Christ when he was 16. So pretty much 84 years, Billy Graham lived his purpose. And here's what Billy Graham said, 86 years of ministry. My one purpose in life is to help people find their personal relationship with God, which I believe comes from knowing Christ. That was Billy Graham's purpose, was to introduce people to Christ. And he lived it each and every day. Everything he did revolved around his purpose. If something came up that distracted him from his purpose, he didn't do it. He was so focused on his purpose. His purpose was to share Jesus with everybody. What's yours? It's mine. See, when we think what our purpose is, we think it has to be this big, grandiocre, massive evangelical deal, and it really doesn't at all. Every one of our purposes are different. Your purpose might be to encourage people. Your purpose might be to be a great neighbor to somebody. You know, your purpose might be to serve in a church or whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be big, but do you know it? Do we know why we're here on earth? And does anybody care? Does anybody care about your purpose? Even you. See, if you don't care about your purpose, why should anybody else? Why should anybody else put more effort into your purpose than you put it? But unless we follow God with our general purpose, we're not going to find our specific purpose. Here's why. God, tell me what I should do in my life. I'll be God over here. And I said, God, tell me what I should do in my life. It's like, why? You're not following me generally. Why should I get you something to follow specifically? Why? It's a basic command to follow God, but yet we start in the wrong place. It's almost like we flip-flop. We tell God, give me a specific purpose, and then I'll follow you. God says, no. Follow me, and then I'll give you a specific purpose. I'll give you that fulfillment. And I'm not trying to make it too easy or too simplified, because it isn't. It's one thing knowing something. It's completely another thing to do it. You see, saying your purpose in life is to follow God generally, and then you can follow God with purpose specifically. Sounds simple, but it's not. If it was simple, everybody would be doing it. But it's not that simple. And even though it's true, it's a hard thing to own in your own life. It's a very difficult thing for us to implement in our lives. See, we're not meant to live life as solo Christians. We're not meant to do it. And a lot of you, I'm sure here today, myself, we love God, right? We do. We want to follow God. We believe in God. We believe the higher power, wherever you're at. You kind of believe that stuff. But we only do half of our general purpose. We don't have fellowship. We don't reach out to other Christians. We don't have accountability. And it's okay saying, well, nobody in the church does it. It's not about other people. It's about you. Do I do it? Do I reach out to people? Do I help people? Do I encourage people? And it's taking that ownership for ourselves. So here's the application. I gave it to you already. I'll finish with this. I want you to read Ecclesiastes 1 to 5. That's it. 1 to 5. But here's the catch. I want you to read it every day, just for 1 week. So say, I don't ask much of you. 1 week, every day, Ecclesiastes 1 to 5. If you don't own a Bible, there's one down the back. Doesn't matter if you're an atheist, nihilist, or follower of Christ. Just do it for 1 week. And here's why I want you to do it for 1 week. No matter where you're at, I promise you, I give you my word, if you're open to it, you'll finish the week with a lot more clarity of what your purpose is. I can promise you, you will. As I said, how old an atheist? Trust me. Ecclesiastes 1 to 5. If you're open to it, if you really want to find purpose, do it for 1 week. Now, here's the catch with this, again, because this is true of me. It might be true of you. If you've already decided you're not going to do it, then you're not really looking for purpose. You can say you want purpose, but if you've already shrugged it off and said, I'm not going to do that this week, there's no way, then why would you look for purpose? Why would you want to do it? Billy Graham said this. I have quoted him twice because he died this week. You want to get quoted twice if you die. Billy Graham, he said this. Someday you'll read, this is him, someday you'll read or hear that Billy Graham is dead. Don't believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I have just changed my address. I will have gone to the presence of God. See, Billy Graham was so focused on his purpose. He was so driven by his purpose. He realized and he knew, when I croak it, I'm just changing my address. I'm going to be living with Christ. This is just a temporary stop. I'm going to be fulfilled and doing what God wants me to do. I'm just doing it on earth now. I'm going to be doing it in heaven when I die. But he knew he was just passing on. He wasn't dying. He was going to be more alive now. It's an incredible thing to think of. We consider him dead. He considers himself alive. When we die, do we think it's the end? Can we live with a mindset of, hey, when I actually die here on earth, it's just the beginning. I'm going to be moving on. So when you find purpose, you know that you're going to be more alive when you cross those pearly gates than when you're here. So the application, Ecclesiastes 1 to 5. I'm dyslexic. Ecclesiastes 1 to 5 this week, and I promise you, you'll end with more clarity. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you do give each and every one of us a purpose. Whether we believe it or not, you have a purpose for each and every one of us. I pray you give us the courage and the ability to be able to find out what it is. I pray you give us the urging that in the morning when we do our routines and we don't pick up our Bible to read Ecclesiastes 1 to 5, that you just give us that prompting to do it. I pray that every person by the end of the week will at least have some bit more clarity on why they're here and what you want them to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.